Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
We'd like to welcome you.
Another Tuesday is been here and gone again.
And now it's Wednesday morning, bright and early.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Tonight our topic is Jesus Christ, man or Messiah.
That's it?
That's it.
That's the only two choices?
Well, we
there's
we
no
also,
middle ground in there?
We might talk about Anthony Munoz after a while. But
Anthony Munoz, tackle or Messiah?
Mm-hmm. The phone number here is 749-1444. That's 749-1444.
Because it is the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Rob.
Merry Christmas,
what'd
Chris.
What'd you get me?
Some incense and a cassette.
That's a really neat cassette you got me.
Where's the incense? They're out in my car still. You and Jim got a split. It's a pack of incense.
You brought some incense down here?
No, it's out in my car. You and Jim get a split. It's a
why
whole...
aren't we burning it during our show here?
Well, so
make this place smell a little bit like a Catholic church since Christmas is coming up.
Because it smells terrible. So that's why.
If it smells terrible, why'd you get it for me?
Well, because I figured you'd like it.
Oh. Okay. Go figure that logic out.
So what are we talking about tonight? Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
We
man
can't call
or
him
Messiah.
Christ then.
Well, Jesus.
Yeah, there you go.
Jesus the Nazarene.
Jesus the carpenter.
Jesus was a carpenter. And I was reading that back in those days, like everyone thinks that Jesus was a real poor guy. Back in those days, carpenters did okay. You had to go through a lot of training and had to have a lot of skill in order to be a carpenter. That was a heavy job in those days.
Still is today.
It still is today, but carpenters these days, you know, they don't make that much. They nail a bunch of wood together.
Well, he was like a real carpenter. He wasn't one of these guys rough framing houses, slapping a joist, a prefab joist onto a prefab wall. I mean, he made, you know, handcrafted tables and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, he probably got paid pretty well for it.
And but everyone talks about the Messiah as being this guy that came up from poverty and he's impoverished. And
who?
Jesus.
Who talks about that?
The church does.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. And let me get this straight right now. We're not ragging on the church, per se.
When you say the church, are you talking about the Catholic church?
The church or a church or any faith or any... I don't want to rag on any denomination, but I was reading these books about all these historical facts that say that Jesus was actually a little more of a warrior than we thought.
A little more of a warrior?
Mm-hmm. He was kind of handy with a knife, as well as a hammer. Mark, you're on the air. Hello, Mark.
Yes.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good, how are you?
Fantastic.
Turn that up, I can't...
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Merry Christmas, how are you all
tell
doing?
Your friend to crank it a little.
I can't hear you.
That's what I
tell your friend to crank your radio
we
up a
got
little.
It now.
All right.
So how you all doing tonight?
We're doing fine, how are you?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Hey, terrific.
So what are we talking about, Jesus?
Yeah, was he just a mere mortal or was he the Son of God?
He was the Son of God, by far.
What makes you think so?
What makes I think so? Look at the world around.
Okay. I'm looking at the world around. I see Chris. I see some other people.
The janitor's here tonight.
We got a janitor here, and we've got the lovely and talented Jim.
If you want to talk about the common man here, let's talk about the WAIF janitor. Go get him. See if he'll come in here.
Go get him. Time to hurry up.
Mike, the janitor, get in here.
Hey, you
Mike,
need me to clean
please
something
hurry
in
up,
here?
Pay attention. It's me, Mark.
You need me to clean something in here?
Well, no, Mike's the janitor. You're Mark. We know that.
Well, I know that.
Hey, no, you're supposed Mike, the janitor, come over here.
There you go.
Mike.
Hi, caller.
His name is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Having a lot of fun on this two nights before the crazy Christmas.
What is it going to be crazy Christmas for?
It snuck up on us. Well, what are you
sure
talking
did.
About?
Anytime Christmas is at the end of the week and not the beginning of the week, people think they can put off their Christmas shop until the weekend, but Friday's going to be here, man.
It is. Friday is going to be a mess. Well, not really. Tomorrow's going to be the mess.
So what's up with Mark? Why do you think that Jesus is the Son of God? Just by looking around you? Well, are you done with your shopping?
That's the end of that.
I guess he's done with his shopping.
Good riddance, if you ask me. Find out the janitor's opinion on that, will you?
Janitor.
Yeah.
Are you done with your shopping?
I'm not doing any shopping this year.
Oh, okay.
The recession's hitting hard.
So you're not doing any shopping, just like making those little coupon books that are good for chores? Like, I'll cut your grass come springtime.
Yeah, that's about the best I can do. Just trying to pay off last Christmas still.
Hey, look at this. We got a check from the city of Cincinnati for $3,700.
Really?
Yeah, look at this.
What's that money going to go to?
They spelled our name wrong. How'd they spell our name wrong?
R-O-D. Rod. It's not Chris and Rod. It's Chris and Rob.
No, no. Oh, hey, thanks, City of Cincinnati. Sorry, I just...
Hey, we got some other fan mail this week, too, didn't we?
Yeah, Zeke Weeky, the freaky from Cripple Creaky. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He sent us all kinds of weird stuff, so thanks a lot, Zeke.
That envelope. See what we got in.
If you want to send us fan mail over here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, send it to... Now, grab your pencil and paper and jot this down. I'll give you the address here in a minute. Anyway, this guy named Zeke sent us a tape. We're going to play it in a little bit. And all these... This paper. All this paper is in here. Something about... Chris and Rob, you fat old donuts or hog nuts, I don't know. Merry Xmas. Is that X the more? I'm not even gonna read that. Ha 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 ho. If y'all want to tap into a bizarre record collection, give me a call. Don't give this number. P.S. I heard Troy has a crush on the corpse of Darby Crash. Who knows?
Who's Darby Crash?
I have no idea.
Germs, man.
And then there's some newspaper article here. Or it's not from the newspaper. It's like some communist thing. And it says... Now, I would like you to picture something in your mind for a moment. Imagine, if you will, myself with a sawed-off shotgun in one hand, its muzzle jammed up under your jaw. In my other hand, a steak knife in your ear, ready to plunge into your brain. Now imagine in your hand a large-caliber handgun, muzzle pressed firmly against my eye. In your other hand, an ice pick inserted partially up my nose. Now also imagine my associate, who has liberally doused your parents and spouse and your children with gasoline and stands ready with a torch. Imagine also your associate, who has bound my family's heads together with adhesive tape and stuck a powerful pipe bomb in the middle with a lit Zippo Lido inches from the fuse. Now also, please imagine all the rest of our friends and relatives locked in rooms with dynamite ready to be automatically detonated by other associates who also have high-powered guns trained on each other.
What the hell is this?
Do you have that pictured firmly in your mind now? Swell. Well, for what I have just described here is what we, who are knowledgeable in the area of foreign policy, refer to as detergents. Not detergents, deterrents!
Amy, go ahead. You're on with Chris and Rob and the WAIF janitor.
Hi, I just want to let you know that Jesus Christ is alive and well.
Where is he alive at?
At my apartment.
Huh?
Where?
At my apartment.
He's in your apartment? Where's he working now?
Oh, he doesn't.
The Burger King of Elvis?
Yeah, he's way cool for that.
He's way cool?
Yeah.
How did you get Jesus for a roommate?
Oh, he likes to visit occasionally.
So, but yeah, he probably disappears though when it's rent time.
Or does he make it up in carpentry?
Well, I gotta go.
Has he built all your furniture?
No.
Okay, well, thanks for your call, Amy.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
You may be.
749-1444.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him,
like they love Chris and Rob,
as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Is the phone number here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We've got Mike, the janitor, who understand you have more than a passing interest in this whole dilemma of whether Jesus was just a mortal guy or whether he was actually a divine being.
Well, yeah, I was a raised Christian. So
which denomination?
I was a Catholic.
What do you think of Catholicism?
I find it very interesting. It's very ceremonial, very ritualistic. It's very, very formal. It's an enjoyable religion.
You know what you're going to get when you go into a service. There's no surprises. Okay, so well, we got somebody lined up here. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. On this Jesus thing, I heard from a man named Obe the Wise that this is something I also believe, that maybe Jesus was just a really smart man with a lot of good philosophies. And he was just, like, popularized just by his people. And he just became, like, an icon for all these Catholic followers.
That's a very strong possibility, I guess.
I think that's the root of it all.
So God didn't have anything to do with it?
Well, there's probably a God. But, you know.
Most people don't realize that the city of Nazareth didn't... You know, you call Jesus of Nazareth? Well, that's kind of a mistranslation from the old Hebrew text. The city of Nazareth, it's very well documented. I don't know where. I don't have these documents. But the city of Nazareth didn't even exist till like 300 or some years after the death of Christ. So how can Jesus be from Nazareth if there was no town called Nazareth at that time? And the mistranslation was supposedly from Jesus the Nazarene. What the Nazarenes were a political party at the time of Jesus' life that opposed Roman occupation, and in fact they were involved in some violent and terroristic type activities, and that perhaps Jesus was their leader and a pretty violent guy, and the reason he was crucified was because he was leading an insurgence against Rome.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that that just totally cannot validate any of the Catholic beliefs. That's all I gotta say.
Alright, well, thanks for your input.
Bye.
Later. But the whole key to everything, the whole shooting match comes down to, did he come back from the dead?
Well, there's all kinds of theories that there was a double on the cross, or that he wasn't all the way dead yet and they revived him. Who knows?
Hey. What have you heard, Mike?
Well, it could have been Simon of Cyrene, who had borne the cross.
Is that Simon Peter, the disciple, or somebody else?
No, that was somebody else. Who bore the cross, but that the Romans probably weren't familiar enough with Jesus, since they didn't have photographs at the time, and that they wouldn't have known the difference. You know, one person could have been...
They all have long hair and beards and mustaches.
Well, yeah, and the hair parted in the middle was the Nazarene style.
It was?
Well, in Renaissance painting it is, but...
Oh. Okay. So any other theories? Besides the fact that maybe Simon was the one that crucified...
It's also possible that...
Hold on! Go ahead.
Oh, it's also possible that Jesus had been drugged while he was on the cross. And we know in Matthew...
Vinegar, right?
Well, yeah. We know that from Matthew that his feet were nailed to the cross, so he would have been able to push himself up to take a breath in. And generally, when people are crucified with their feet nailed... they would survive a couple of days on the cross before they would finally die of exhaustion and asphyxiation. But he had only been on the cross for about 3 hours at the point when he died, and he died after drinking of the vinegar, which is a mild stimulant. So you would have expected that if he had died, well, he wouldn't have died right after the vinegar, but rather he would have had a small burst of energy. But it's the opposite of what we see. And it's likely that he was given an herbal potion, which isn't that far-fetched. He would have appeared dead on the cross. The only problem
is... What about
the
knife going in the water and not bleeding or whatever?
Yeah, he really couldn't have survived that. It's possible that he could have been revived, but he wouldn't have lived very long after that. And even
it
with the
like
nails...
Because they nail you not in your... It's not the palm... But they actually nailed in the wrist. Right,
right. Right. Well, the problem isn't loss of blood, though, as much as it is blood poisoning.
And I think shock, maybe.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, after 40 days or so, you know, the blood poisoning would have run its course and he would have died, in which case they would, he would ascend to heaven.
Don't forget about extreme pain.
Oh,
yeah. He would probably black out, though. I mean, so I think somebody put a railroad spike through your wrist. You wouldn't want to hang around for that.
Oh, I certainly would.
Let's see what the caller has to say.
Go ahead, Zeke.
What?
You're on, buddy.
Oh, man, I forgot what I was going to say.
You were going to say Chris and Rob rule.
Yeah, you guys do, man.
Thank them for the fan mail.
Thanks for the fan mail. PJ O'Rourke's pretty good.
Hey, man, read it. Hey, thanks for reading off that little blip down there, man.
Hey, you're welcome, man. Thank you for sending it, man.
All right. You guys are cool. You guys rule.
Thanks.
Hold on, Zeke. This
little wouldn't want to be you.
Hey, dude, this little stamp that you got in the corner is evil because
you
got
to turn it upside down.
I know,
dude.
Man. It's evil. It's two heads in one. It's a smiley guy. It's a frowny guy. It's a smiley guy. It's a frowny guy. What the hell is it?
That's my return address up here on Calvin Creek, man, because you know we brew our own and we grow our own. And, you know, hey, guess what?
God
we
didn't make any
down
mistakes,
one of those helicopters this last fall, man, but they said it was like a technical error. You should have seen what we got them with, too, man. It was cool.
Zeke, can you hook us up?
Well, no, I'll call you back. Just drop me off the air.
Look, man.
Get some other callers, man, because this Jesus thing is great, you know.
Well, of course he's great. He's the
well,
son of
you know,
God.
People say,
if you were the son of God, you'd be great, too.
Hey, man, you know what my favorite thing is? Here's my thing out of Revelations, man, that 11th chapter, man. That thing kicks butt. You know why? Because right in at the very end it says, and should us destroy them which destroy the earth, man. It's like, what are they talking about? Like an industry or something? I don't know.
Zeke, you sent...
That's some pretty heavy threats there, you know.
What's the address you sent fan mail to Chris and Rob?
Yeah, down on Victory Parkway.
What's the address you sent it to? You sent it to Post Office Box 6126. Jot this down, everybody. Because we want more fan. We're going to play... You sent a,
yeah, it's 06, I think, your last digit.
By the way, what is this tape you sent us?
I forgot. I think it's probably just real classical shit, you know, like 50s and 60s.
No, it's not. It's like some psychedelic music with some guy talking on it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
I forgot what I sent you. Because I'm going to send you another one, but, you know, that's, I don't know what I sent.
Did you write these songs or are they from some goofy old record?
I don't know what it says.
Well, let's find out. Send us fan mail to Chris and Rob, care of WAIF, Post Office Box 6126, Cincinnati, Ohio 45206. And this is what Zeke sent us. Some tape us, some weird. The phone number here is 749-1444. Tape's coming up, I guess.
Hey, Tony, when you buff a floor, do you walk backwards or frontwards?
Well, you definitely have to walk backwards.
Yeah, you gotta walk backwards if you want to control that buffer at all.
Definitely.
Tony, where are you a janitor at?
I'm a janitor over at WGUC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, right here we've got Mike, who's the janitor here at WAIF.
Well, pleased to meet you.
Do you guys know
hey,
each
Tony.
Other from, like, the janitor conventions or anything?
Yeah, actually, Tony, Mike, I think we've met each other once.
So what was it that led you to the janitorial profession?
Well, to tell you the truth, I wanted to start a career in acting, but I realized that, you know, that just wasn't going to work. Had to resort to the janitorial duties. But
it's because you don't speak up in a loud, clear voice is why you have no future in acting.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll speak up a little bit louder then.
There you go. That's more like it.
I have a couple questions for you. Most importantly, what would have been the purpose of drugging Jesus or whoever they put on the cross?
Is that for me?
Yeah, that's for you.
Yeah, from one janitor to another.
Well, you couldn't get the body off the cross until the victim was dead, or at least appeared dead, and it would take somebody with a connection to the Roman authorities to get permission to remove the body from the cross, because part of the punishment of crucifixion was that the body wouldn't be interred, but rather it would be left up on the cross to rot.
Okay, I understand all that, but what would have been the purpose of drugging whoever the person was on the cross in this particular instance?
Well, to make the death appear to happen much more quickly, because if the account in Matthew is correct and Jesus' feet were nailed to the cross, he would have lived much longer than the 3 hours he spent on the cross.
Now, who might have been responsible for this alleged death?
Well, it's Joseph of Arimathea has a hand in it, but who exactly he is really unknown.
So why would they want to appear to kill Jesus but not actually kill him? To what effect would this have been done?
Well, that makes the resurrection possible.
Oh.
I mean, he's not really coming back from the dead, but he is waking up, and everybody thought that he was dead.
So was Jesus directly in, or whoever was put on the cross, was he directly involved with this conspiracy?
Oh, certainly.
And to what effect was he involved with this conspiracy?
Well, he would have had to have known beforehand.
Well, so Jesus was the leader of this political group, and they got some other flunky of the political group to get killed in his place.
No. Well, it's possible. It's also possible that Jesus did go through the agony himself.
And what was Jesus' final aim if it was actually just a conspiracy to fool the people into believing that he was killed? What was Jesus' aim in this? What is his stake?
Well, if you want to make an analogy, why did Socrates choose death rather than banishment?
Well, because he chose to live with honor.
Right, but also, do you think that anybody would have taken his teaching seriously if he would have just chosen to leave rather than die for his beliefs?
Well, I understand that analogy, but I don't believe Socrates resurrected himself.
Well, he didn't, no.
So I'm not sure where the analogy fits.
Well, Socrates wasn't a religious figure, primarily.
Well, philosophy at that particular time was considered to be the religion of the Greeks.
Yes.
I have another question for you. In most of the paintings in the Catholic Church, you see Christ is depicted in a certain way, but many theories also seem to point to Christ actually being black. Now, what do you feel about this?
Christ was definitely a man of color, wasn't he? Wasn't he darker skinned than all the other Hebrews were at the time?
Well, he definitely, he wasn't white. I mean, he's Middle Eastern, if anything else, so.
Would he be like comparable to Israeli today?
Well, I don't know. The nation of Israel is made up of immigrants from all over the world now.
Right. So why does the paintings in the Catholic Church depict Christ as being fair?
Why are you asking him? He has no control over the paintings in the Catholic Church.
Well, he appears to be an expert on Catholic matters.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, he's depicted as being young and white, primarily because a lot of the people who would be going to these churches were white, and it's part of that cult of youth.
Would it primarily.
And well, I can make another point here. I draw a kind of analogy. When I was in the Orient, I had some guy paint a picture of Stevie Ray Vaughan for me, and he gave him Chinese eyes. And Stevie Ray Vaughan doesn't have Chinese eyes, or didn't have.
All the best cowboys.
Also, I have another question for you, Mike the Janitor. What are your feelings about all the controversy going on right now about the problems going on in the Catholic Church in regard to sexual molestation.
Well, the Catholic Church is in a very bad position, especially considering that they most probably had a little bit of foreknowledge that some of these priests who have been accused had in the past had a history of this sort of activity. So, you know, the Catholic Church really doesn't have a leg to stand on unless, of course, they're going to try and eradicate this. And one thing they might do, well, they're not going to do it, but if they would lift the bans on, or the vows of chastity for priests, allow priests to marry, I don't know, a lot of people who feel themselves, this is going to sound like a blanket statement, and it shouldn't be at all. But some people who feel that they're weak in a way, and they need a way to get around that weakness, will look for a vow that they can take in a system, a rigid system that will enforce that vow. And a lot of people enter into this this structure, hoping that it will prevent them from committing this crime or whatever. But their nature won't allow that. I mean, they find that they act the same way before the vow as they do after the vow.
Well, let me ask your opinion about this then. Do you feel that sexual perversity and molestation are inherent within the structure of the Catholic Church?
As much as they are in the structure of our culture at large.
Well, if I recall, something that I read about the Knights Templar, who were somewhat involved with the Catholic Church in some way, if I'm not mistaken, had a ritual that involved screwing each other up the butt in a way of greeting each other when they had the mass meetings.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Rob. How you doing?
Well, you're going to have to tell us more about this.
We could go on for about 8 hours of all the different ways the Catholic Church has made up stuff that's not in the Bible or anywhere else.
I also have one final question, and I'll leave you guys alone.
Well, hold on. I'm going to have a question for you after that, buddy.
Okay, buddy. What is your personal interest, Mike the Janitor, in disproving Christ's alleged messianic legacy?
That's not what I'm doing. I've no need to disprove it.
Is there any personal stake in whether or not it is true to you or not?
I think Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was just over here sweeping the floor as we pulled him into the talk show. We said, "Hey, Mike, you want to talk about Jesus, there, guy?" And he said,
"Yeah." Chris and I have a bet tonight too on you know, how many callers are going to tell us
intelligently discuss the subject.
Yeah.
Hey, for
we're still waiting for one.
For a couple of you, janitors here, you guys either are really bored janitors with a good education, or you guys are just been sniffing too much of that soap.
Well, you know, I think, to tell you the truth, we're both graduates of Bowling Green, and, well, it amounts to us to be failures, so we're just doomed to be very smart failures.
Yeah, Walkmans and books on tape have been a great help, too.
Sure. Well, Chris and Rob, I just want to thank you for allowing me to talk on your wonderful show without hanging up on me in the first 10 seconds. It's been a real honor.
Why would we do something like that when you have such intelligent questions to pose, such as, why are all priests perverts?
Or disc jockeys, for that matter. Anyway, that's all I had.
All right, keep on sweeping.
Say, thanks a lot, guys.
749-1444 is the phone number here, Chris and Rob. Get in on this!
Jesus was a carpenter, and he worked with a saw and a hammer, and his hands could form a table true enough to stand forever. And he might have spun his life out in the coolness of the morning, but he put aside his tools and he walked the burning highways to build a house from folks like you and me. And he found them as they wandered through the wild Judean mountains, and he found them as they pulled their nets up on the Sea of Galilee.
And for a thousand evenings, while the day behind him emptied, he walked among the poor, and he stopped to touch the dying, and he built his house from people just like thee. It was on a shining Sunday when he rode to old Jerusalem, and the palms they cast before him were the crimes they laid against him. It was on a storming Friday when he climbed the streets to Calvary, and where he died today, why, they're selling beads and postcards, and they tell us too that that was long ago. But would he stand today upon the sands of California, or walk the sweating blacktop in New York and Mississippi, where the mighty churches rise above the screaming cities? Would he be a guest on Sunday, a vagrant on a Monday, with the doors locked tight against his kind, you know? Come again now, Jesus, be a carpenter among us. There are chapels in our discontent, cathedrals in our sorrows, and we dwell in golden mansions with the sand for our foundations, and the raging waters rising, and the thunders all around us. Won't you come and build a house on rock again? Jesus was a carpenter, and he worked with a saw and a hammer, and his hands could form a table true enough to stand forever. And he might have spun his life out in the coolness of the mornings, but he put aside his tools and he walked the burning highways to build a house from folks like you and me.
Mike, the janitor, just handed me this, and I'm going to ask him to go into it here in a second. And in the same spirit, the king of the South Indian province of Qualicare, at the completion of the 12th year of his reign, on a day of solemn festival, had a wooden scaffolding constructed and spread over with hangings of silk. When he had ritually bathed in a tank, with great ceremonies to the sound of music, he then came to the temple, where he did worship before the divinity. Thereafter, he mounted the scaffolding and, before the people, took some very sharp knives and began to cut off his own nose, and then his ears, and his lips, and all his members, and as much of his flesh as he was able. He threw it away and round about until so much of his blood was spilled that he began to faint, whereupon he summarily cut his throat. Why, Mike?
Well, it's a regeneration of the land. The union of the masculine and the feminine, which produced the fertility of the land. And what we're speaking of is a ceremony that occurred in matriarchal cultures. And when the fertility of the queen is inherently linked to the fertility of the land, and after the man, the king, is past his prime after a certain set period of time, he voluntarily gives his life for the fertility of the land, and then there's a new king who then marries that queen.
Well, weren't there a lot of, before the birth and death of Jesus, wasn't it an old custom that many kings, after they died, would insist that their followers eat of their flesh and drink of their blood?
I don't know.
Mickey, you're up next.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Mickey.
How's everybody?
Well, we're doing just fine. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How about that last guy?
Wow, about him.
Kind of turned into a janitor, counter janitor there for a second.
Just for a minute.
Yeah. Some folks, some callers need to get the intellectual railroad tie out of their ass.
Ooh.
Go ahead, Mickey. Pry it out.
Well, what I want to say is, how do you explain this whole Richard Harris, a man called horse thing?
What, when he stuck the stakes through his nipples and lifted him up?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a... You got an answer for that one?
There you go. There you go right there. Come on. I'm waiting. And he was even Irish.
But he was a man, and he was called horse, though.
See? So what's happening there? Plus, you know, this whole conspiracy thing can't be true because... Oliver Stone would have made a movie about it.
Well, there might be one in the making. You don't know.
Plus, you know. Plus, here's the cardinal rule to use here, folks. I really don't think Jesus can be alive today because if he were, he'd probably be in a Sub Pop band. Because he's got that look.
Who filmed that movie, The Last Temptation of Christ? Wasn't that sort of a scandal film?
That was Marty Scorsese, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And the Passover plot, that was a major motion picture too, wasn't it?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, so you got guys getting nailed to everything left and right.
Hey, man, they were violent back in those days.
True. But I think the last caller kind of got Mike the janitor here confused with Jerry Falwell or something. He was really getting on Mike like he was like the defender of the entire religious sect of the world or something. And I don't, you know... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that's what Mike's doing, right?
I'm just sweeping the floors.
No, I know. Mike's not here to defend Catholic pervert
priests. He's just here to, you know, shoot the bull, you know, kick a few opinions around just like everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Zipping around the room.
This guy kept going, sir, tell me, what do you think about, you know, I thought he was going to comment on his robe and his hairstyle there for a while. I mean...
The robe that Mike the janitor is wearing tonight is quite fine indeed.
So... You know, just
purple.
Just called to add a little levity to the show. Not make everything so somber and so serious. Sounds like the damn Montel Williams show or something.
Yeah, but what about that queen? She had John the Baptist's head cut off and brought to her on a platter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, hey, everybody's got their cross to bear.
Jeez.
So to say. I may applaud you. It's been 47 minutes, and you've been on the same subject.
We haven't mentioned dope yet.
That's really good. You know, did Jesus smoke a lot of dope? Did he smoke a lot of rope, a lot of hemp, a lot of herb?
Tell us, Mike the janitor, what was Jesus' stance on ganj?
I really don't know if it grows there or not. I couldn't tell you.
Hey, Mike, something's got to grow
Mike
over
the
there.
Mike the janitor?
Yeah?
What would be your prime intoxicant of that era of time?
What's the deal with wine? Like you always said, when he turned water into wine, could you get loaded off that stuff or not?
Well, I imagine so. Alcohol's alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah, good point.
But I don't know. I don't know what kind of herbs were growing there, what they did with them. I mean, you know, there's stuff to intoxicate yourself with in, you know, any time period, so.
How about this whole stoning people to death thing?
Well, how about this, Mickey?
Okay.
A baby's born, right?
Right.
In a manger. And what's the gift you bring him if you're the king?
I'm thinking Super Nintendo.
Well, no. Oh. You bring him some kind of spice that you use when you bury him. They were obsessed with death back then.
You know what it was? It's because they all wore those damn sandals, and the inside of their big toes got so shaped, everybody just walked around in a really bad mood their whole life. That's what it was. It was those damn sandals.
So if they had some Dr. Scholl's foot powder, some Mycotin, maybe.
Yeah, everything would have been smooth. We would all be hand in hand right now. But you can't be walking around with a big, pussy-infected big toe and be with a smile on your face.
Well, I don't know. I get the impression that he was a healer to some degree, so he probably would have been able to take care of that.
Yeah, but could you imagine standing around all day, people sticking their feet in your face? Here, touch my big toe. It's chafing.
I could see Mr. Christ up there on the cross, like, you know, getting nailed and getting crucified. And I can see, like, the amazing Randy walk up and go, hey, who you fooling? Get off of there. We're not falling for that. I'll show you how it's done. Or, like, Penn and Teller would, like, do some Vegas act on how, you know, how to fool your friend with a crucifixion in your living room.
Or David Copperfield could make the crucifix disappear and then reappear.
David Copperfield is a cheese ball.
David Copperfield. Somebody needs to take David Copperfield's side and say, Dave, buddy, pal, you're tan enough, right? You're just tan enough.
But he combines magic, illusion, and music in an artful combination that's never been seen before.
Okay, if you say so. He can't combine his clothes with a hell. He needs to put on a couple of pounds, too. He's looking kind of peaked.
Anything else, Mickey?
I don't know. Just, geez, I mean, I guess, you know, I guess you can bat this subject around all you want, but let's not just try to get so sober and somber about the damn thing. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, thanks a lot, Mickey. What?
Never mind, go ahead.
Later.
All right, bye.
Okay, if Jesus was a carpenter, as Johnny Cash says he was, what were some of the other vocations open to people back then? You got your shepherd, you got your fisherman, and you got your priest.
The tax collector.
Yeah, there were doctors, too.
Right? Sandal
makers. Astrologers.
Magi.
Don't forget the magi.
What's a magi?
Wise men.
Well, you can't just like, go to school to be. You just like kind of fall into that.
You're either born a magi or you're not.
Right?
Really? I don't know. But what other kind of like laborer type job? Hey, like to be a tax collector, you had to kiss somebody's butt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, you know, to get into West Point nowadays, you got to know somebody. So really, he was a carpenter, or a shepherd, or fisherman, I guess. Is that about it?
Could have been making a road or something. I don't know.
They had road builder? I guess they did. Yeah. What, engineer?
All architects. Roads led to Rome back then. Oh, Jim. Thanks.
749-1444 is the phone number here. Do we have any other proof or disproof of any of the other miracles? Like what? He walked on the water.
The loaves.
The fishes and the loaves. The one loaf of bread and the two fishes into feeding multitudes. Well, is that a David Copperfield type illusion?
I think the walking on water had to do more with a mistranslation. I think that it depends on the translation you read, but one translation says that he was walking by the water, and then in another one he was walking on the water. So,
but he walked on like two or three times, right? He walked on it twice, didn't he? Didn't Peter walk on it once? Simon Peter?
I think he fell through.
Well, yeah, he quit believing. He lost his faith, and he quit believing. Kelly, 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 you're on with Chris and Rob and the janitor.
Not Kelly, Kelly.
Kelly!
Hey, baby.
Oh. Hey, Kelly.
How are you, honey?
Fantastic.
Good. Good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Miss you. What's on your mind tonight, Kelly?
Well, what are you guys talking about? I just tuned in.
Well, we'll have Mike the janitor fill you in on that.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about dinosaurs tonight.
Dinosaurs.
They're extinct, you know.
I kind of feel like a dinosaur tonight, you know what I'm talking about?
Why's that?
I just moved.
Where'd you move to?
I moved to Northside.
Northside?
Yeah.
Oh, they got crime up there.
What?
They got crime up there.
They got crime. They've got crack in my old neighborhood.
Well, what was your old neighborhood?
Quarryville.
They got crime there, too.
Sure do.
Can't you move up in the world a little bit?
What?
Can't you move up in the world a little bit?
I've moved up. I've moved over. I've moved back. I've moved sideways. I've lifted one too many boxes, if you know what I mean.
There's lots of neat little grills, little corner grills over there in Northside. I don't remember the names all of them. The kind of place you can go get a good bowl of chili and a hamburger.
Like over on Hamilton and such?
Yeah, up Hamilton Avenue. There's all these little diners. Go check some of them out.
Well, I'm sitting with my roommate, Ulara, here.
Well, what's your roommate's name?
Ulara.
Ulara?
Yeah.
That sounds like a name from Star Trek.
Could be. Could buzz. Could do. Could...
Anyway.
How are you guys doing?
Not as good as you, I guess. Can you hook us up?
Can I hook you up?
Yeah.
With what?
Bong fill. I don't know. What is it you guys are doing tonight?
We've been moving all fucking day. What do you think we're doing? We're smoking, we're kicking back, we're enjoying the space, we're, you know, creating our...
So do you think an asteroid hit the Earth and that caused a big ice age and that's what killed the dinosaurs?
I don't know. I think it was cholesterol.
Okay, we gotta go. The dinosaurs ate too much raw meat.
Well, I was wondering if the dinosaurs had an equivalent of Jesus at some point during their... there millions of years on Earth.
Wow, Tyrannosaurus Jesus instead of Tyrannosaurus Rex. Heavy. Okay, what was the other one? Water into wine. Did anybody ever cover that one?
It probably... this is my take on the water into wine. Okay, they go to this wedding in Cana, okay?
Water and Michael DeWine?
Okay.
Okay, well, Jesus' mom is saying, Jesus, you know, we're running out of wine, you know. All we have is water, you know, what are you going to do? And his mom is trying to get him to get more wine up for the guests. Well, my question is, why is Jesus responsible for making sure that the guests have wine when that's the groom's responsibility to provide wine for the wedding guests? So then, in fact, isn't Christ being married at Cana? He's not going to a wedding, but he's being married.
Oh, so it's his wedding, you think?
Right. And with it being his wedding, he knows where the wine is. So his mom thinks that they're out of wine because all she sees is water, or maybe in a jug that they normally store water. He's probably got wine stashed there because, you know, that way people aren't going to be, you know, dipping in. And he says, you know, Mom, it's wine. It's not water, okay? And they go over and look inside, and it really is wine. And everybody's all excited, and they're yelling, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. We have wine. When, you know, it was wine all along. They just thought that it was water. And that's how he keeps everybody's hands off of it.
Oh, so it's kind of like, you know.
So it's his private stash.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you dump the... You dump your good stuff into a bottle of cheap stuff.
Right.
Oh, okay. So Jesus he was pretty smart then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Jesus didn't say it was a miracle. Everybody else said it was a miracle.
Okay, let's see. What other ones were there?
Well, we're not going to be able to prove all of the miracles.
The thing is, how many... Is there any chance... Whenever someone like tries to disprove these things, they always like take the basis of the stories being true, but isn't there a chance that the whole thing was just totally made up?
Certainly. It's literature.
Okay, 749-1444.